This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
All right, hello New Zealand, and welcome to another episode of Turn the Page. My name's Mark Pacey from the Wairarapa Archive, and today I'm not taking you through three stories because I don't have three. I've only got one left from that batch, but I'll fill in. I've got some things I will have a chat to you about. It's not going to be a short show. So today, just because it's a bit of a tribute, I've been doing this for, I think it's about 2 years now. So as a small tribute to that, I'm going to play, I think, the first piece of music I ever played on the radio, which is one of Dad's favourites. This goes back to when I was doing my Wreck and Roll show, all about ships and shipwrecks, and this was one of Dad's favourite songs. This is Johnny Horton doing Sink the Bismarck. So we'll play you this, and then we'll read a story straight after.
Just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees. Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship, the Hood. And every British seaman, he knew and understood. They had to sink the Bismarck, the terror of the sea. Stop those guns as big as steers and those shells as big as trees. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks a running, boys, and spin those guns around.
But when we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The Hood found the Bismarck, and on that fatal day the Bismarck started firing 15 miles away. We gotta sink the Bismarck was the battle sound. But when the smoke had cleared away, the mighty Hood went down. For 6 long days and weary nights, they tried to find her trail. Churchill told the people, put every ship a sail. Cause somewhere on that ocean, I know she's gotta be. We gotta sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks are running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The fog was gone the seventh day and they saw the morning sun. 10 hours away from homeland, the Bismarck made its run. The admiral of the British fleet said, turn those bows around. We found that German battleship and we're gonna cut her down. The British guns were aimed and the shells were coming fast. The first shell hit the Bismarck, they knew she couldn't last. That mighty German battleship is just a memory. Sink the Bismarck was the battle cry that shook the seven seas. We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around. Yeah, we found that mighty Bismarck and we cut the cutter down.
We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around.
We found that mighty Bismarck and then we cut her down.
That was Johnny Horton, Sink the Bismarck. My dad had that as a 45 record. I've still got it, actually, now that I think about it. Because for a long time, we didn't have a CD player. We had cassettes and we had vinyl, and I used to play some of Dad's 45s, and that was one of them. Can't remember what was on the B-side, something else, but I definitely remember that one. Right, on to our first and only story for today. This isn't the end, I promise. I'll do some others in the future. I've just got to work out what it is I'm going to do. Right. So television was first broadcast in New Zealand on June the 1st, 1960 in Auckland, and featured an episode of The Adventures of Robin Hood, an interview with a visiting British ballerina, and a performance by the Harold Morrison Quartet. New Zealand had come late to the world of TV. Britain had its first broadcast back in 1936 in the United States 3 years later, and Australia in 1956. Television was also different then, as viewers had to pay to have a license to have television sets as well as the cost of the set itself. There was a limited broadcast range available, so for the first few months, it was just the Auckland region that benefited from the new form of entertainment. It wasn't until the following year that Wellington had a transmitting station built. Television was now much closer to Wairarapa, and some locals went to great effort to be a part of it. The Wilson family on Bruce Street in Masterton were the second in town to put up a television aerial. This was not the same aerial that would later be a common sight on the roofs throughout the country. Because the signal was coming from much further away, the receiver was twice the height of the Wilson's roof, towering above the neighbours' chimneys. They had anticipated the arrival of the new signal and had their new aerial and set up running a month before the transmission started and were able to pick up the test signal being sent from the Wellington station. Masterton radio serviceman Henry Byrne of Macara Street had also been one of the first to set up a television aerial, was in the process of constructing himself a set. It is difficult to imagine, but in mid-1961 there were just two households in Masterton capable of picking up television broadcasts. For all of Wairarapa to benefit from this new entertainment technology, we would need our own transmitting station. On May 2, 1963, Director General of Broadcasting Gilbert Stringer made the announcement that the recent experiments by the New Zealand Broadcasting on the use of repeater transmitters were successful, and as a result, a tower would be built on Otahua or Bennett's Hill. From Saturday, May 25, 1963, Masterton viewers would be able to tune in to clear signals from Wellington on Channel 6. A week before the big day, a film crew came to Masterton and took some scenic shots, as well as a statement by Mayor Norm Tankersley, which would be broadcast on the first day of transmissions in Masterton. Today, there is no longer a requirement to have to pay to have a license in order to have a television, and many households have several televisions within them. Signals are now able to be received from around the world in crystal clear high definition. Our predecessors from the 1960s would have found this reality better suited to an episode of science fiction theatre. Right, that is it. I think that's it. Oh, man, actually, no, it's not. This is a double-sided page. I missed out half of the story. We will go back, ignore the last paragraph. This is why you print single-sided. I'm not used to it. On May 25th at 7:58 p.m., the transmitter was switched on and Masterton tuned in to the Wellington broadcast. Mayor Tankersley stated in his televised transmission, "There have been many first times in Masterton. This is the first time a town in New Zealand has had an official NZBS repeater station. This relay station will bring the services of television to many homes in Wairarapa." For the rest of the night, viewers were able to watch Scoreboard at 8:15, Laramie at 8:19, Science Fiction Theatre at 9:14, The Fred Astaire Show at 9:41, Manhunt at 10:34, and Sunday Sport at 11:50. For children, the next morning brought the likes of Sooty, Gumby, and Captain Pugwash. The new form of entertainment did not come without its warnings. An editorial printed in the Times Age of the day, on the day of the first transmission, expressed quite a profound and intuitive statement on the effects of television. "The viewing habit will be harder to resist than almost any other form of entertainment, and it will be necessary to resist, of course. The insistent demands on the eyes as well as the ear during certain periods of the day tend to inhibit other forms of activity. Television can mean regimented living if it is not approached sensibly. It may be a blessing in uniting the family circle, but it profits any family little if the members of it become automatons in obedience to the demands of a shining screen." Never a truer word, although now it's cell phones, but that's from the 1960s. They knew what they were talking about. Despite the warnings, interest in television rose. Smith & Brown and Masterton advertised its new stock of television sets at the time of the first broadcast from Otahua. The Al Greco 23-inch television with a walnut or mahogany cabinet would set you back £159. The mid-range Majestic Knightsbridge with a 31-valve function and rock-steady picture-ability would cost you £165. For the true television enthusiast, the choice was the Majestic Park Lane. This set boasted a dual-cone speaker, casters, a flat presentation Vivid Vision picture tube, and the latest electronic advances. This marvel of visual technology had the price tag of £189.10, the equivalent of over $8,500 today. If you did have the option of paying it back, you could do so at £2, $90 a week. Despite the costs and the health warnings, the sales of televisions boomed. Many dealers found themselves sold out of sets, their stock heading out the door as soon as they were put on sale. Technicians were kept busy, installing new aerials on the region's houses. From the first two aerials in Marston in 1961, the number of licences taken out had increased to 343 by the end of May 1963. And of course we come back to our final paragraph again, which I will read again. Today there is no longer a requirement to pay to have a license in order to have a television, and many households have several televisions within them. Signals are now able to be received from around the world in crystal clear high definition. Now, predecessors from the 60s would have found this reality better suited to an episode of science fiction theatre. Right, I will now play... I have played this before, but I really like this band. They're a New Zealand band. They deserve all the recognition they can get, and it's... absolutely beautiful song as well. This is Shepherd's Rain, and it is Not Forgotten.
You're always te coe.
Never Forgotten by Shepherd's Rain. Check them out if you get a chance. They are an awesome, awesome New Zealand band. Right, as I said before, we have one story left and we've just read it. So the stories that I've been reading for the last couple of months, there are 75 of them. And the reason that I put them all together and read them here was so I could read them out loud. And if there's anything wrong with them, we can tweak them, because those 75 stories are going into a upcoming volume that will be a exclusive large print nonfiction book, because there really is a serious shortage of nonfiction large print. It's been mentioned at the libraries and things. People come in and ask, say, can you get more large print nonfiction? There's just not that much out there. People don't seem to do large print nonfiction. So I thought, well, let's do it. So we did the shipwreck one in large print, and now we've just done a collection of 75 of my newspaper stories, so 75 short stories about all kinds of different historical things that'll be coming out soon. And it's probably going to be an ongoing thing because there is a shortage of it. And I was like, well, let's try and fill the hole. I've written a few things now. Let's make them available to as many people as possible. So that's what the idea between those ones were. And of course, this is the 75th story, so I now have to go back and find other things to talk to you about, but I'm sure we can do that. And I may change the format slightly. One really cool thing we do at work is once a week you go around and you talk about the things you're working on, and I realise I've never ever done that. I've come in and I've read you three stories, played you three bits of music, a terrible joke, and then I've left. Some of you probably have no idea what it is that they actually do from day to day. So in terms of some of the projects that I'm working on, obviously the large print one, I've just done a then and now type book, which is where you take a bunch of old photos from Masterton and then you then go and work out where was that photographer standing. You take the same photo now and you put them side by side and you see how the town has changed. That arrived last week from the printers. That'll be coming out soonish. Also coming up in November, now this is for people that are interested in history around here, there is the Wellington Heritage Festival. So if you are interested in local history, I am involved with four talks with that, one of which is a tour of the archives. If you're curious about what's in the Wairarapa archive, what's behind the doors, what's out the back, you can go onto the Wellington Heritage Festival website, go to events, and scroll down until you come to the Wairarapa section. There'll be one in there about having a tour of the archive, which I'll be giving. More than welcome to come along to that. There are limited spaces. I haven't checked. I had last week off on leave, so hopefully that hasn't completely booked out, and I'm lying to you saying you can come and do it. But go and have a look on there. I'm also doing a walking tour of Queen Street, where we'll be going down and we'll be looking at some of the buildings that are there or aren't there, talking about some of the stories around some of them. I'm also helping Jane Ross with her talk on some of the theatres down Queen Street. And then I'm doing one which I'm most proud of, which is a tour of the Solway Showgrounds, talking about the United States Marine Corps that were there, which also ties in with another project I've been working on, one of many, which is a war memorial to the Americans, which is almost finished, all going well. We'll be installing that on site next week. So by the time the talk comes around, there'll be a shiny new memorial there that we can talk about as well. So those are some of the projects I'm working on. Those are the ones that are actually almost finished. There are a bunch of others, but we won't go there. So I might do this, make this a small part of my upcoming shows. We'll just keep you updated on what's going on in my world or the archive world or the publishing world, some of the things that we're doing, some of the things to look forward to if you're a fan. We'll keep you informed on that one. Another one which I've also... I was asked if I could do it, and I thought, that's a brilliant idea. You mention it to a few other people, and they all say it's a brilliant idea. It's not a book. It's a small little booklet-y thing about how to write and how to self-publish. How do you do all of that? What are all the things you need to know? Because I had to learn it all myself. No one taught me. We'll be doing a small booklet on that, sort of a beginner's guide to writing and publishing. All going well, it'll be out also before the end of the year. I've got a busy year ahead of me. November's looking really interesting. It's going to be good, but busy. So that's pretty much all the things that are going on at the moment. Like I said, if you're interested in any of those things, go to the Wellington Heritage Festival website. If there's also things you would like to hear me talk about, or if you want to come and be a guest, it's not scary. You come in, you sit behind a microphone, and we just chat. That's it. That's all you've got to do. If you're interested in doing that, want to pick my brain or anything, by all means, get in touch with Arrow, get in touch with me. You know where I work. I'm at the archive, and we'll arrange something there as well. That's pretty much all I wanted to say on that one. I haven't really gone non-scripted before. I normally read a bunch of text off a bit of paper, and that's me, so hopefully that wasn't too laborious for you to listen to. So I'll play you one last piece of music, and then I'll be on my way. This is one, it came out during the lockdown period, which to artists and writers and things, the COVID lockdown was for all of us, some of us. We enjoyed it because you're suddenly stuck at home. You're like, right, now I've got time to do this stuff. So this is a band, I'm trying to think where they're from. I think they're from Finland or Norway. I probably should have checked on that one. They're called Wardruna, and they use traditional instruments, so big drums made of animal skins and, you know, flutes made of bone. You know, they're a brilliant, brilliant group. And as far as I know, they actually, even the dialect they use is sort of an ancient Norse one. So this was one called, hopefully my pronunciation is correct, Lifjaberg, which means Life Mountain. This was a song they released during the COVID-19 lockdown. So this was a piece of music I listened to a lot when I was doing my writing and stuff over lockdown, which was brilliant. But it's a very, very good song. It's a little bit long, 8 minutes, but that's okay. We'll play this for you, and then we'll have another quick chat after it's finished, and then we'll be on our way. So this is Wardruna doing Lifjaberg. Lifjerberg by Wardruna. Brilliant, brilliant song. It actually has the subtitles on it so you know what it is he's talking about, and it's nothing nasty, it's all good. So, like I said, that's pretty much me for the day. I've been pondering while that was playing about future shows, and maybe I will do little updates and other just banter to put in there so it's not just me reading off a page every time. The problem with that is doing three stories every week, you know, you run out of stories. I've been writing for the paper for 7 years, but like I said, we've read a lot of them on the radio, not all of them, but a lot of them we've read on the radio now. It's going to come to a point where I'm going to have to start writing two or three stories a week, which I actually am doing, but it's a lot of pressure. So maybe we'll get some guests on and change things up a little bit. We'll keep doing stories, but maybe not three every single time, because it's going to get difficult soon. And I don't want to go back and repeat myself too much as well. Right, we will catch up with you Monday. I will think of something to do on Monday. It's going to be challenging because I'm here today, I'm here tomorrow, and then I'm off again. So, but we will work something out. We will have a show for you. We will have some history stories for you and maybe some other things. I will go away and ponder. Have a brilliant week, and we will see you on Monday.